the throughput part could be a metadata platform that shows you where the data is, what is in there, do you have access to it, and so that the society or whoever wants can make products out of that, be an algorithm, or it could be, in my case, of course, a statistic.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of BARC, and my guest today is George Simon Ulrich. And he's not only the chief statistician of Switzerland, but he's also the chair of the Statistics Commission of the United Nations. And with that, he's in a way responsible for the data that the United Nations use. This strategy is not only looking at the organization itself, because that organization also wants to use data better and more analytics and so on as an organization, as any other organization, more or less. But we are really looking at the data that is used, for example, to steer the key initiative of the Sustainable Development Goals. For that, countries need to deliver data, and this has to be done in a, let's say, standardized or readable form. And we have to basically have agreements, you know, how this data is being provided, how it can be used, and so on. So very common problems also in companies, with the speciality here that we have a central body, the United Nations, that has no power to actually dictate rules. You know? And so everything has to be negotiated, and we have a very decentralized setup. And I think in many organizations, if we think about Data Mesh and other initiatives, it's very similar. Yeah, we have to find the balance between decentralization and central standards. And George is telling us how they do it here and how they plan to do it, with ideas like transparency first, to build up a metadata platform. I will also ask him about data leadership. Yeah, so what is there really leadership? And you will be surprised what you hear on that regard. And I think we can get not only very interesting insights into an organization that we are probably not too familiar with, but we will also, I think, hear a lot of ideas and approaches that we can transfer directly into any organizational's data challenges. So enjoy this episode. Hi, George. Great to have you.
Hi, Carsten.
George, we want to talk about the United Nations data strategy, and you are in the heart of it, as I have learned. So I think an unusual topic for our podcast here, but a super interesting one. And we will hear later, I'm sure, also some relevant ideas that we could also use in other contexts. So let's start with some basic questions. What is the United Nations doing with data? What data are we talking about? Who's interested in it? Where is it coming from? So I think it would be great to get first a good picture, like a data landscape of the United Nations.
You know, that's a question like if you would ask me, I don't know, what's the meaning of life? It depends a bit on how much time we would have to answer that question. No, but of course, I think everyone knows what the United Nations is. The question is a bit, what has that to do with data? And there, I mean, if you look at the UN, I mean, of course, they have an aim, they strive for, like, ensure and secure peace in the world. And as we all know, this is incredibly difficult. And of course, as we also know, I mean, that we reach this goal, it's not just that people say, let's be friendly together. I mean, it's also really that based on facts, we can make decisions that we say we strive now for, that everybody has a better well-being, maybe if it's needed, or they have peace or something like that. As you probably know, the UN decided a couple of years ago the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, with 17 goals. And I mean, if you want to know if you reach these goals or where you stay, then of course you need to have data, you need to have statistics, you need to have figures. And of course, I mean, that's like in every company the case. I mean, you have a vision, and then you have to operationalize that vision into measurable data or measurable goals, and for that you need the data. And this role of showing where we stay is within the Statistical Commission. I mean, the UN have several, many divisions and commissions and things like that, but this is the task of the UN Statistical Commission to show where we stay. But the UN itself, of course, has also a data strategy. They were saying, okay, look, the whole UN need to use data better than they do it today. And of course, these data need to be good. And of course, it shouldn't be just data from the government. It should also be data from the private sector. There you see the problem starts. I mean, they decided in April 2020 to launch a UN-wide data strategy, and they're promoting concrete data use cases. They were saying, okay, look, start with the problem. What kind of problem do we have? Can we solve that? And as you also probably know, the UN has no power over the all over the other countries. I mean, they have to negotiate every single element. And as you know, when it comes to data, that is a kind of a problem. If you say we need to have standards, who is the one who has the power to say this is not the standard? So this is a bit where we're coming from when we start saying what is actually the data, the UN data strategy. Since 2020, of course, there were several discussions with the UN Secretary General. How can we now coming to a better stage or a next stage that we really can have some results out of that? And they started to negotiate with many different stakeholders, not only the Statistical Commission, but of course also with the, for example, the academia. They do have a partnership, for example, with the ETH in Zurich and many other academic environment they talked to. And of course, they have many also other partners that work together, be that big tech companies like Google, Microsoft, and Amazon, and so forth, but also, of course, other governments like China, all these who are having a stake within that data landscape, and of course, also who can provide what for making this world a bit better. This is maybe the intention of the UN data strategy. But now they started to operationalize that to say, okay, now being more concrete. And therefore, this September this year, they started the so-called Summit of the Future. This is the how we're going to do that in the future. And there is a part, Global Digital Compact, who should also be adopted. And there is a clear statement. The expectation is that they say, how are we going to do that? Outline, share principles for an open, free, and secure digital future for all. And on that level, it's simply clear that everybody agrees. But now, of course, the question is how we proceed that there is a part that includes a chapter on an equitable and interoperable data governance. And there you see that someone has to develop this governance. So this is an important topic which should be discussed at the global level. Currently, there are different entities at the UN that discuss this topic, but there is no unified approach yet. And this is actually there where the Statistical Commission starts to play a role.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Super interesting. Maybe a bit more context. This UN Statistical Commission, how big is that? How many people are working there?
Actually, I mean, the UN is organized like they have a bureau. There are not so many people in the bureau, but all countries have a voice in there. I mean, there are 28 countries who are allowed to speak. Actually, everyone is allowed to speak. Even the civil society is allowed to speak, but they are having like the priority. We are now on the way to expand that to 54 members. But if we have a meeting, and of course all 193 countries are there. They're actually participating, and they also can talk. And you have a bureau, and we there at the bureau we make agenda. And of course, there's a kind of a consultation process that everybody can have an opinion in that. And at the end of the day, we agree on the agenda. And that's the way we go, the way we work. And these elements have changed the last couple of years. I mean, we were founded in 1946 after Second World War. And the members are the chief statistician and head from national data and statistical systems from all member states at the UN. And it changed a bit from statistic towards the topic of data stewardship, because many statistical offices in the countries, they got new roles, such as in Switzerland. I'm not only the chief statistician in Switzerland, I'm also the data steward of Switzerland. And of course, then these topics cannot be solved just on the country level. They have to be solved on a global level. So that's why we started to change the topics we discussed together, not only just about the GDP and things like that. This is anyway quite challenging, but I mean, that we start, and if you look to a GDP, we are having the definition on what kind of variables we take into account, what kind of definition we take, and then we make it comparable in time and in space. And of course, this is Plus minus the same thing we have to do also in the data field. Who is the one who define and develop a standard? And I mean, most of the data that the UN needs or deals with comes from the statistical world. And most of the data is hosted and also compiled and analyzed in Geneva, which is one of the five places where the UN has their place in the world. The other one is New York, Paris, and there's some more. And so therefore the topic of data has become increasingly important for the Statistical Commission, but also our role for the UN in the field of what exactly is it that we are responsible for data. And I'm currently the chair of that Statistical Commission. There are five people in there, so one chair and four co-chairs. Co-chairs at the moment are Mexico, Tunisia, Slovenia, and the Republic of Korea. And our job is to moderate the Statistical Commission's discussion. And of course, we are also responsible for reporting and the results.
Interesting. So coming back to the UN data strategy. So you mentioned that basically two things to separate. One is there is a data strategy for the organization. So that should be using more data like any other organization, I would say. And then there's the other thing that's making, for example, progress measurable or having data that you can compare on a country level. And if my understanding is right, your job and your focus is on the second part. So you look at the country data and you mentioned the sustainable development goals, which I think are super interesting. So you look at the UN initiatives and provide data to that. Is that correct?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, it is correct that the UN strategy is coming directly from the Secretary General and belongs to the UN. And yes, it's correct that, at the UN, also for the SDGs, the country they have to organize themselves, but they have to deliver interoperable data that makes this comparable all over the world. So that there's a bit where these two worlds coming also together in the field of data, because one of the problem that we all face, this was actually the same discussion we had 2018 in Switzerland, is that we actually don't know what we have. Because the problem is the data which is open, it's not so a huge part of the problem because it's already open. That's why I would say that, for example, stakeholders like geospatial data have less of a problem because they don't have, data that is you have to protect specifically because it's a personal data from a person or something like that. So they can focus quite easily the interoperability of data, and they also have quite a lot of standards. But if it comes to questions about where are hills and things like that, more questions like how we steer the society, then of course you need also to have quite sensible data. So it means that you have to treat or you have to know how to treat data that is has on a higher security level or I would say difficult to share with others, such as personal data. And therefore, the statistical offices, they know exactly how to deal with that. And that's probably also the reason why the ECOSOC gave this task to the Statistical Commission, because the first problem that we have to solve is, do we know what we have? And this is where this metadata platform comes into play. It's not so innovative to have a metadata catalog, but the innovative thing is that everybody sticks to the same definition. So it's not about who is determining what, it is more, do we do the things the same way? Let's make a simple example, which, I mean, if you code, for example, sex, is now a man a one or a two, or do you need another definition like M for male, but maybe in another language it's not an M because maybe the man is defined another way. So it doesn't matter so much, but everyone has to do it the same way, because if you don't do that, quite difficult if you look how, for example, generative AI works. There you have an algorithm and the algorithm needs to understand what's in that variable. I quite often make the example of three worlds, if I want to say like this. So the one world is where the data is coming from. And in that field, you need to have interoperable data, but not only technical-wise, but also semantic-wise. So someone needs to explain what's in there. Let's make also here an example. If you want to know, is the mark you get in school good or not? In Germany, one is pretty good. And one in Switzerland is really not so good. So that's why that means that the description of the data needs to be everywhere the same. And that also solves, if you have specific protection of your data, you can show what kind of data you have, but you don't have to give it. I mean, you just show it. And that enables, of course, the society or everybody who wants to work with that to know what we have. And then you can also talk about elements like what is the quality of data and things like that. The second world, I would say, is then the platform. If you look how ChatGPT works, there is an algorithm. It's actually a product through a platform or several platforms and have access to text data mostly. And here, I mean, we try to build the same system. Like the input data is the data where you have a standard where you know what is in there. The throughput part could be a metadata platform that shows you where the data is, what is in there. Do you have access to it? And so that the society or whoever wants can make products out of that, be an algorithm, or it could be, in my case, of course, a statistic.
And just thinking about it, the UN has 193 member states, so it must be like an Herculean task to define a common definition. You describe the first step is a transparency first, which makes a lot of sense, obviously. But what were your experiences? How did that work?
Of course, the UN is an incredible huge organization, but this is like of a opinion process to build up. That really, I mean, it already started. I think there is maybe COVID had a lot of difficult things, but one of the things was getting very clear at that time is that we don't know enough about how data literacy, statistical literacy works. So this is, of course, an incredible important element. I mean, those who are in charge of having the platform where data is dealt on, that's also a question of power, of course. But I mean, here I could say that, I mean, it's always the question, who should have that power? Should it be a country? Should it be that country? Should it be a company or several companies? It's difficult. It's like a philosophical question. But the experience is, of course, we can do that. I mean, we have done that several times in the past, be it for defining a GDP. I mean, there we define standards, we define variables, everything. We agree on that, we stick to that, so it's comparable. So we do actually the same thing. I mean, even the invention of, I don't know, dealing with the financial system is a kind of agreement. We agreed on processes, on what's the value of money, things like that. I mean, even time is such a thing, actually, if you think it through. So we can do it. People are able to do that. But I think right now we have a time where technology was quicker than how we're, I would say, cope with our own systems that were historically developed over time, mostly through difficult times that came out and we found, okay, we have to find a solution together. We are at the age at the moment that belongs a bit to the topic of data and information. I mean, now we have a time that you don't know really exactly what kind of information is good information. It's a difficult question, not so simple to say. So we have to find common ground. Who is responsible for these processes? Who can make it transparent? Where can we discuss these things? And I mean, we are now at the stage doing this. And I would say this is really a bit the paradigm shift, how that developed. And I think that the UN has an important role to play there. And my experience, of course, is that we started with implementing a system like this metadata catalog, the data stewardship approach in Switzerland in 2018. And in Switzerland, it's a bit like the small UN. We have 26 cantons and I don't have any power about them. I mean, I have to negotiate every single thing. So we started to build up the bodies to discuss that. We started to build up, do we need a law for certain things? We started to build up a governance, a data governance. We started to build up some ethical principles. We started to think about the regulation and all these elements. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to make a vision about it because digitalization is different than maybe in the past. So you cannot say where we stay in 10 years, but you can say where we need to be fit to solve real problems better than we do that today and what we need for that. And you mentioned transparency, and I think transparency is one of the best element we have. But of course, this transparency need to be based on a platform or based on a discussion that there is not just one institution that determines everything. It needs to have the discussion among all stakeholders, what's the way to go, so that at the end of the day, that everything what we do should be for the people of this world, and not just for a single company or just a part of the group in that world and things like that. So this, I think we haven't solved all the problems on that journey, but it started that we have platforms to start to understand what we really do here, even though I of course think that we haven't reached now really a good level of understanding, but we are on the way, I would say, for the first step to get a better understanding what data really means, what the role of the UN could be in an extended version, what means that, how to treat with information and data.
Yeah. So the process started in 2020, if I got you right. And where are you exactly? What's the state?
I mentioned it already a bit. It's like this summit of the future, this global digital compact. This is now really saying, okay, what exactly, who should be responsible, how we go this way, who should talk to whom. This already started. I mean, right now in that Global Digital Compact, there are two commissions. They discuss should be responsible for making these standards. The one is the Commission for Science and Technology, and the other one is the Statistical Commission. And of course, here we have to work together. I mean, this is that what will be discussed there. And then we know a bit more about the data governance, what means who is doing what till when. And at the moment, we are just in discussion of that. And I assume that within that year, we get a clearer view on who will be the next step on that journey. The one thing, and the second thing is, of course, we are on the way to do a feasibility study that should show, would a metadata catalog, as we have in Switzerland, something similar, maybe something that make transparent what we have, would that make sense on a UN level? And one of the possibility, of course, is that something like that could be installed in Geneva in Switzerland, because there is the place where most of the data is going through when it comes to the UN. And it could be, for example, that such a metadata catalog is an open source possibility for all countries to show what kind of data they have, not only the countries, but also the private companies could show it, because actually at the end of the day, they don't give the data, they just show what they have. And would it make also possible, then the possibilities would be here that, for example, private industry sectors could start talking to each other without any involvement of a government, because they just see that this data is here and they could start thinking about shared services, things like that on that platform. And then the UN would be an enabler and not just someone who's justifying what they do. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So would it be fair to say that the Swiss data strategy that you develop basically is now the proposal for a UN data strategy?
It's always difficult to say something like that, because it's never a single country, a single person. It's always many people think about these things. I mean, in March 2020, I visited Antonio Guterres, he's the Secretary General of the UN. We talked about that strategy, and I'm very close, of course, with his team, which works for him for this strategy. And we're discussing, of course, many of these things. And we learn also a bit from each other. But of course, we started 2018, so it was a bit earlier than 2020. But it's like always. There are always several people. And then as you see, the UN, it's never one single person who has invented something. It's always...
But probably it's a good template, a good place to start to then derive the UN strategy. Because I agree on the parallels you also are very decentralized, no power at the center. So that, I think, sounds interesting. You mentioned Antonio Guterres, and data leadership for sure is a success factor if you want to develop data in an organization successfully. And what's your impression? How serious is UN leadership on this topic of data?
I mean, you know, this is always difficult to answer, because, I mean, I don't know the whole UN. But I met Antonio Guterres, and I really have to say that I was impressed, because my expectation, it's maybe not so good if I say that too loud, it was not very high, because I thought, okay, look, this is a politician. He has to deal with so many interests. And I mean, how deep can that discussion go? And I was really impressed. He knew exactly what we talked about. He had the question he asked were the questions who were important. I mean, you have many discussions with politicians and they say, okay, I have to reach this and I have to that, and how can you help me? And he really asked questions such as, how is it about the equity of data in that world? You know, it's like that the data is, as we all know, data is not agnostic. There is always a decision before the data is here. And then you start working with a result of a decision, and people think this is actually something that's the starting point of doing so. So you saw that he really understood what are the core elements of these things. Second question were things like, I mean, we don't actually know what we have. How can we ensure that there is... this is ethical, okay? How can we ensure that not someone just take all this data and do something that we actually don't know? And it is really for the people and not for something else, not for one country or just only for a company, things like that. So you saw that he was, I was surprised how specific and clear question he could ask. I mean, if it comes to leadership, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not just the person. It's not like, when I say it in as a chief statistician in Switzerland, now we have to do this. It's not everybody's saying, shouting, hooray, and they're running all in the same direction. It's never like this. So this is the same at the UN also. At the end of the day, you need institutions, organization, people, and really a multi-stakeholder approach to convince people to go and develop ideas to go in a certain direction together, doing it the same way. I mean, in Switzerland, there is a culture about it. I mean, it's like we negotiate and you never come to the point. I mean, we develop that. This is a part of our understanding how democracy works. No one has the power over someone else. I mean, it's always negotiation. And that's why I think he's more aware of all these issues than I expected. Therefore, yes, there is leadership. If this is really then also ready for implementation, this is not just one person can do that. I mean, we need to have a certain critical mass of people and institution and commitments of countries and companies saying, let's solve these problems together. And it's really based on a factual understanding for the people and not just for themselves. And therefore, yes, I would say yes. And of course, as always, there is not a yes without the but. So there are many buts in the sense of, I think also we are in a world that changes, that have dynamics, there is power around, it's a lot of money, there are interests. At the end of the day, it should serve these 17 goals we defined at the for the Sustainable Development Goals. And as long as it is in that direction, I would say yes, they take their role to try to be better than we have been in the past. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very interesting. Along the same line, now the UN obviously is this organization of all the states, and my understanding how data is understood and treated and secured and so on, monetized, is very different. Yeah? If I just think about the US and on the other hand, China, just as examples, we just, without judging it, we just have to observe that societies or countries deal with data completely differently. And how does that affect your work?
Yeah, of course, it affects how the work as well. But I mean, this is what we do in the Statistical Commission. We say we have an obligation. We build up the framework, the definition, and the information product. And we do it in a certain way that we say this is how we're going to do that. We also have international peer reviews controlling that. And then you have to deliver the data for up to a certain time. And we also check if you have done that right. I mean, sometimes the countries don't have enough data, then they're just missing. But in the case, for example, for the SDGs, we started with a very, very low contribution rate. And now we rise that up. I'm not quite sure how much it is today, but it is a lot more that this data is interoperable and says the same things about every single goal of these 17 goals. So we know now that we won't reach every goal we set at the 17 goals, but the data in infrastructure and the data itself has been developed much, much better than it had been before that. So therefore, I would say, of course, it affects us. And of course, I mean, every single country can decide what they want, but within the UN Statistical Commission, we are not a political commission. We are a technical commission. So we are defining standards. So you have to stick to that standards, even though you would have another standard in your own country. Sometimes some problem can occur out of that, of course. But you see that it is incredibly important to say something about our world that these things are done the same way. I mean, you have seen that during COVID. I mean, if you have in every single country a different method to show how many people are infected, things like that. So you cannot compare anything. So that showed how important that it was. In some fields, that works quite good, like the GDP and all these figures we do in statistics, because we've done that for many years. And in the fields that are not so regulated, they are new, or there is not a common methodology or understanding, we have a bit of chaos. Yeah, absolutely. And therefore, it is important to agree now on standards, to agree on platform that makes important data visible. Not all the data is important, but I mean, company data, personal data, governmental data, there are different stages of importance that there we agree on all these elements of interoperability. I mean, as you know, there are four elements, or there are many more, but four principal elements: technical interoperability, so same standards, same nomenclatures. Secondly, that you have a basis that is within the law, also the national law. So that's that's why, for example, metadata doesn't make any problems because you don't give the data themselves. So you just give the description. So the legal part is important. And thirdly, how it is organized so that those who have data show their data. This is, I would say, the most difficult part. And then the third one, of course, is the semantic part. And the semantic part that plays the statistical commission an incredibly important role because this is a part of our just normal job we do all day. And we also harmonize that globally wise.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, we are approaching the end of our time here because it's obviously super interesting and a completely new world. But on the other hand, I think we can also use some of those insights, even if we have a problem in our company or any other organization to do it. Now, looking at all the things you mentioned, your work in Switzerland, your work with the UN, I think you have a very clear idea how things are working. Like you mentioned, transparency first, metadata platform. What would be your key recommendations for anyone, any organization, be it on a public level, on a private level? Maybe we could sum it up, what your recommendations are. How can I approach the topic of data to make it more valuable? Whatever value means for me now. I think that would be a great summary, man.
Okay, I mean, it starts with a very, very simple question that people have to ask themselves. The simple question is, what kind of problem do we all share? I mean, sounds simple, it is simple. And one of these I already mentioned is we don't know what we have. So then we should start solving the problems that we all have, not just the particular problem. So I would say there is the starting point. The second point is I do have a responsibility, not just for my data, but also for the reuse of data. If you think a bit about that, you come to completely different solution. Because normally people that come from somewhere, they search and strive for solution, they solve their own problems. And quite often people think, now we just have to scale my solution to everyone else. But even though you haven't understood what the problem for the other is, you think it will also solve your problem. So this is like the second thing. The response, and then of course you have all that you need to have competences in the field of data literacy, statistical literacy, and so on. If you don't have that, you're not competent to overtake this responsibility. And then, of course, we need to strive for transparent system. They are able within a decentralized ecosystem. It's not centralization. This is very difficult. So it's a decentralized world, but centralized coordinated, I would say, maybe in that front. That need to be a transparent process. Otherwise, you don't have the levels of trust in there. I mean, no one trusts if something is just, you don't know how that had happened. And then we start with who is responsible and what kind of institution can take things like that. Quite often it's the other way around. We take the institutions we have, we take the problems they have, and then we search for solutions. But there you only can find solution within the already existing world. So we have to think it the other way around. I mean, we don't know what kind of problems we can solve in the future. So we shouldn't just think in that what we already have. So that's why it is important to first have the discussion. What is then the aim? What's the problem? And that could, of course, could be a next level approach. It doesn't need to be a visionary, I don't know what, you know, it's like, this is sometimes difficult. I mean, also, I say we need to have this metadata platform, otherwise we don't have the transparency. But you see, I mean, to build up that, it's already a visionary element. I mean, and therefore, this is a process that I think will challenge us quite a lot. That's why the precondition is really, do we have the same problems that we try to solve? Do we want to work together? Things like that. Secondly, our own responsibility to think about the others. Some like, can I use the data also for other purposes? And then any kind of system that makes or provides transparency so that we know what we're talking about. And then we find common ground to say who does what and who has the power to do what. So this is a bit maybe on a very superficial level, how to summarize that. And of course, at the end, you need a kind of a feedback loop that you come into a circle to getting better and better.
Yeah, but actually, I don't think it's too superficial because it's exactly, I think, like a recipe. If companies are thinking about now about data mesh, about data products, about data intelligence, data catalogs, and so on, I think it's always exactly along these lines. And what you described, I think, is a very good starting point. Yeah, these are very good guiding principles, I would call them.
Absolutely. You easily come to the conclusion that to reach sovereignty, there is no really complete centralized system. I mean, so you need to have certain power decentralized, But of course, if you have agreed on it and everybody says this is the way we go, then everyone is profit out of that. So this is how the platform economy is working or thinking. It's completely different than this single market thinking. It's all about me. It's all about us. That's actually the solution we have to work for.
Absolutely. That's a great final statement. Thanks so much. I will not add anything. George, thank you so, so much. It was really super interesting. And I wish you good luck at the Summit for the Future. I think that sounds like a very important meeting. And I hope we will also, get some good results for the future of the data strategy here. Good luck and talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.